Welcome, everyone. I'm Ruth Newman, and this is the Access Hour, your doorway into finding your voice and expressing your concerns over our publicly owned airwaves. Today is special in that we are live during our annual pledge drive, which runs until Saturday, April the 13th, coming right up, when we invite you to come celebrate with us 7 years of being on the air. It'll be at the Logan Street Market, which is on Logan Street and St. Catharines, from 5 p.m. until 8 p.m. We have Bob Klein with us of Retro Forward fame, and he is at the controls. So we have with us right this moment in the studio some fabulous guests, all of whom work or volunteer, which is also work, in some aspect of protecting our animals, especially our pets. We have with us today Todd Blevins. Todd is a Kentucky native. He is the Kentucky State Director of the Humane Society for the United States, right?
Yes, ma'am. Hi, Ruth.
Hi. 2020.
I actually started on March the 16th, which was a heck of a time to be alive, as we all remember. The day after I started is when the governor declared the state of emergency in Kentucky. So, heck of a time to start a new job.
Oh, my God. Emergency management right off the bat. And you previously served in leadership positions in both state and local government. You advocate for animals at the state capitol and in city halls across the state. And you are committed to working with individuals across the state to improve the lives of animals in Kentucky and beyond. We also have today with us Larry Jones, who is the president of the Louisville Dog Run Association. Hi, Larry.
Hello.
And we have Susan Ganchiff. And Susan, you foster dogs.
Yes.
How neat.
Thank you for the Humane Society here in Kentucky. Yes.
Well, I guess my first question is for Todd. Just tell us a little bit about the Humane Society and how it fits in with all of the other shelters and agencies that protect our animals.
Sure. So happy to talk about that. It's a common source of confusion. So I appreciate you asking that right off the bat, Ruth. So Susan mentioned that she fosters for the Kentucky Humane Society. That is not my organization. We love KHS and we work with KHS all the time. But my organization is the Humane Society of the United States. We are primarily an advocacy organization. And so as you said in my bio, the main part of my job is trying to advocate for animals so that we can pass stronger state and local animal welfare laws. And those that have paid attention to this issue over the years, or maybe even not, know that Kentucky has been historically, what's the word, miserable on
yes.
animal welfare laws.
Yes.
And so it's a privilege to be able to do this and try to improve our standing so that our pets and other animals can benefit.
Yeah, according to the Animal Legal Defense Fund, Kentucky's animal protection laws currently rank 45th in the country for
And we've actually climbed a long way, Ruth.
Oh, yeah.
So we were 50th out of 50
oh,
for
my.
13 consecutive years.
Oh, goodness.
It's not a record that we want to have, I don't think, in Kentucky, but yes, we have climbed a little bit out of the basement, maybe like three stairs up out of the basement, and we are now a resounding 45th.
So what animals and types of situations does the Humane Society work with? For example, I know they work with pets. What about farm animals? What about race horses, circus animals, wildlife?
Yeah, so our mantra is fight for all animals. I love that that's something that we get to do. And as you said, we focus a lot on companion animal issues, both in Kentucky and elsewhere. But we also work on animal welfare issues that are outside of companion animals. So you mentioned equine issues, you mentioned farm animal issues, you mentioned wildlife issues, and so on. So it's very nice to be able to work on all those different issues, because I mentioned how abysmal our laws are. That really cuts across species. You know, we can certainly do better for our household pets. We can certainly do better for dogs that live outdoors, for instance. We can certainly do better for our horses. After all, we are the equine capital of the world, right? But our animal welfare laws don't always match that.
You have any idea why that is?
Well, I don't want to be too speculative. I think there is a general hesitation in if we take too much of a forward step, I'll say forward since we're here on Forward Radio, if we take too much of a forward step, then perhaps it'll start to run away from us. We'll start doing too much too fast. And that's truly a message that I try to counteract all the time, is that we are just trying to make incremental progress for animals in Kentucky because we have so far to go. And again, you mentioned the state rankings. We're 45th out of 50. I think that speaks for itself. We have a long way to go, but I think because we've made some of the incremental progress, we are starting to climb the ladder. So, for instance, folks may have seen that Ethan's Law passed this year, House Bill 258. That was an extraordinary event because, you know, we all know the story of Ethan and all the good work that his unfortunate situation has actually brought to the plight of animals in Kentucky, but it still took multiple years for that law to pass, even with the most famous dog in America, maybe on Earth. So I think that's very emblematic of how incremental the progress has been and, you know, it seems will continue to be, at least in the coming years.
Todd, could you explain a little bit more about what Ethan's Law is so people who do not understand what it is?
Yeah, thank you, Larry. So Ethan's Law clarifies, and it's, you know, a little bit graphic, but if you torture a dog or cat in Kentucky, that it is a felony-level crime. That was not clear in the statute as it was written. And so Ethan was tortured. He was severely neglected and to the point where he was emaciated, and it would certainly constitute torture. And yet it wasn't clear that that would have been a felony if the offender had been caught, because Ethan was dumped and nobody knew who did it, to my understanding. So Ethan's Law would make it clear that if you do something of that nature, it is a felony level crime, which I think most in you know, most folks hearing that would say, yeah, that's warranted.
And I know that it wasn't that long ago that it was illegal for a veterinarian to report any kind of animal abuse that they had witnessed.
That is true. That is absolutely true, Ruth. And for folks that maybe don't, you know, aren't familiar with that history, I'll just say that again. In Kentucky, we were the only state for many years that actually prohibited a veterinarian from reporting suspected animal abuse. Thankfully, that law has since been repealed, and vets can now report suspected abuse, but I think that is also very emblematic of both where we were and that we are making progress. I think it's easy to say that, hey, 45th out of 50, we're still not doing a great job, but we are making improvements.
And I know that I had you on my show several months ago, and it was all about puppy mills and retail pet stores selling pets from puppy mills. And could you tell me what has happened with that ordinance?
Yeah. So I am very excited at the progress that's been made at the local level here in Kentucky. So you're referring to the ordinance that the Louisville Metro Council passed last September that prohibits the retail sale of dogs and cats in pet shops and in places like flea markets or parking lots. Almost 500 communities have done this nationwide, but Louisville was a particularly historic moment because, where we are, Louisville is the major metropolitan area in Kentucky. But then B, the amount of people that were so engaged on that issue, we were told by the Metro Council that they received over 800 phone calls about that ordinance. They do not get 800 phone calls about anything. Mm-hmm. And so it was emblematic to them of how many people both care about that issue and care about animals in the community.
But I thought, didn't that get overridden by the state? No?
No, so there was an attempt, and actually the attempt is not done yet because the legislative session is not quite concluded, but there was an attempt put forward to nullify that ordinance and the couple other ordinances that have passed in the state of Kentucky on that issue. We feel that that is simply blatant government overreach, but we are optimistic, fingers crossed, that that bill has actually stalled out this session. So we hope that that will stay that way and that localities will still be able to do what they'd like when it comes to protecting animals in their communities.
Do you happen to have any idea as to why they would want to override a puppy mill ordinance in Louisville?
Yeah, I think it's simply about protecting the status quo. So some of these bad operators don't want to change how they do business. It's as simple as that. we know through public records, through USDA reports, that the pet shops that sell puppies are by and large getting them from puppy mills, full stop. Mm-hmm. And frankly, some pet shops just want to keep doing that. It's as simple as that. It's the most the highest markup model for them. It's the most cost efficient, I guess you could say, model for them. When, again, most folks in the community would say it's not really the best to be peddling with puppy mills. So we are thankful that the General Assembly has so far said, no, we're not going to protect one special business interest above the will of the Commonwealth and our citizens.
And see, in my opinion, that's one reason why we have independent media, so that these issues can come up and so that people can become informed. Otherwise, as you say, it's a cost-effective model because the retailers, they see it as a win-win because of the, you know, the low prices that they get from the puppy mills. But you have to have an informed public. So I'm going to jump to promoting our radio station because we're in the middle of a pledge drive right now, and we need to raise $7,000 to be able to run this station, which has been going now for 7 straight years, and that's really exciting. Go to our website. It's www.forwardradio.org, and you'll see a link that says donate to our pledge drive. And there you will find all kinds of premiums at different pledge levels. And so I hope you will then come to our birthday party that we're having on this Saturday, April 13th, from 5 o'clock until 8. And we are having Charles Booker is going to be our special guest. Along with him, we're having a virtual visit from our sister city in Leeds, England, because they took the initiative and got a hold of us. They happen to be another community radio station in England, and I just learned today that they're 5 hours ahead of us, so it's going to be late, but they're going to try and virtually visit with us a little bit on the big screen at the party. And the party is going to be at Logan Street Market. Logan Street Market is at 1001 Logan Street, right at the corner of St. Catherine and Logan. Let's see. Do I need to say anything else, Bob?
Well, one thing to remember about the location is Logan Street is one way north. So coming from the East End, you would have to take Breckenridge, preferably Breckenridge Street, down to Logan Street, take a right, and it's a couple of blocks down. So it's easy to get to. And, of course, GPS now is very popular. So
Yeah.
Right.
Well, so maybe let's talk a little about the Louisville Dog Run Association, which I am a very proud member of. And we have with us... Oops.
Hi, everybody. I'm Larry Jones. I'm the president of the Louisville Dog Run Association. And Ruth has been one of our volunteers for, I guess, a decade now, quite a long time.
Yeah.
And we need volunteers like you cannot believe. We have another volunteer here also, Susan. So my whole point here is that we're a volunteer organization. We're a nonprofit, and we're basically the best-kept secret in Louisville. Mm-hmm. We've got about 10 parks, about 5,000 members. And we sure do want you to join. And any other questions you might have, we'll try to answer today. I'm going to give you the prices of what it would cost. It costs you $45 a year. That's for one whole year to be a dog park member with one dog. If you have two, it's $35 for the next dog. And it prorates. It goes down farther from that, 25 and then 20. It is off leash. We want you to come and enjoy. Have your dog socialize with other dogs, and you get to meet other people. It's not like when you're walking down the street, as I said earlier to someone, you've got your dog on a leash, and you see another dog, you cross the street so you don't have any entanglements and problems. This is different at the dog park. Everybody is there. We get to know each other. They become friends. It's really interesting to be part of.
Yeah,
you'll really enjoy it.
It's certainly a culture. It's a dog culture, and it's a people culture, both. And I must say that the Louisville Dog Parks was absolutely a lifesaver for me, because I got my dog in 2012. Her name is Velvet, from the Humane Society, and learned quite quickly that she was leash aggressive. And people kept yelling at me to control my dog, and she kept bringing me down on the leash because she would lunge at people and at dogs. I went through three trainers trying to get her to be more passive on the leash, and I failed. So I was all set to return my dog to the Humane Society. As a matter of fact, I left several messages on their phone, which luckily they never answered, because I wanted to return her. And I mean, the dog park was my lifeline, and I've had her now for 12 years. She's 14. She is my best friend, and I attribute all of that to the dog parks, because the dog park socialized her. She is the best playmate in the dog park, but I always park close to the gate, because when I put her on a leash to take her to the car, she becomes aggressive again. So I don't want to have any other dogs around. So I want to thank you, Larry, for all the work you've done for the Louisville dog parks. And I invite people to find out more. And maybe you can tell them more about how they get involved and how they find their fobs.
I'm sorry, folks. We have to share one microphone here, so you're going to hear us kind of fade in and out. We do have a website. It is the info@LouisvilleDogs.com or info@LouisvilleDogs.org. And you can find out all the information you need at the website. Or you can call directly at 502-876-9416. We'll be happy to answer any questions that you have. And we do need volunteers. It would be great if you want to try to help out if you're a member now or want to become one. But help us keep this thing going. This has been going on for 23 years now. And I've been involved with it for 22. It is really Louisville's best kept secret.
Larry, may I ask a question as a non-Louisvillian? So you mentioned $45.
Right.
Does that get you access to all of Louisville's dog parks?
There you go. Yes. Thank you, Todd. Yes, it is all the parks. And it is very fun, because a lot of people will go to more than one park, and some will just stay at their local park that they want to be at. And you will get to know people. You really will. It's the neatest social club we've ever had. And people know each other. They become friends. We actually have a couple. Well, it's happened more than once. They've met at the dog park, and they are now married. So it is.
Yes.
It really does work.
And I met, actually, my wife and I moved to another community several years ago, and we met our first friends in the new community at the dog park.
Right.
So I can personally attest that the dog park is the hub of social interaction.
Well, thank you there. You go. See, all these testimonies, I'm not even having to worry about it. You got it taken over. Susan, would you share with us a little bit, please?
Yeah, so I moved to Louisville from Chicago about 10 years ago, and at the same time I also had a puppy. And like Ruth, you know, it's always challenging when you just are starting out with a puppy. They have a lot of energy, and they require a lot of, attention at that time. So, and also, I was new to town, and I really didn't know anyone here. But I quickly started going to the dog park, and that is where I have made some of my best friends, is at the dog park. And I was telling Larry earlier that when my puppy was really young, I would sometimes come as many times as three times a day. Because you have this puppy and they're kind of going crazy in your house, and you know they need to work out that energy. So yeah, made some of my best friends at the dog park, and really grateful for the that it's there. But yeah, there have been a few budding romances too at the dog park, and we've made really some lifelong friends there as well.
How long did it take you to get to know the people's names? versus the dogs' names.
That is so true.
We do know the dogs' names, and the people's names come later. But yeah, I mean,
we
will invite one another to our birthday parties and other significant events in our lives. I have found that the people I've met at the dog park were kind of like-minded in that we, you know, love animals, and we usually agree on many political topics as well. So we find our kindred spirits at the dog park, and we're, you know, very grateful for that.
I'm just curious, how did you get involved fostering dogs?
Well, I came from coming from Chicago. I was a volunteer for Chicago Animal Control, and that was volunteering there was a very rewarding experience. I didn't really do very much fostering while I was in Chicago, but again, got a lot of experience at Chicago Animal Control in terms of handling dogs. Very good training, because we did things like play groups and other things that they also do at the Kentucky Humane Society. So when I came to Louisville, I was looking for, you know, another place where I could volunteer and have a lot of interaction with dogs. And I started out at the Kentucky Humane Society as a volunteer. And then as the need has become so great, especially recently with overcrowding in the shelter, and the need for fosters and to find homes for these animals, I felt compelled to foster. Fostering is not easy, because we were just talking about, you know, how hard it is to take a new dog into your home. It is like getting that brand new puppy, you know, every time you take a foster home. But I have to say that the support that you get from the Kentucky Humane Society as a foster is amazing. You have access to someone to speak with about any health concerns, and that is really available to you, pretty much 24/7. So I have fostered for a number of other rescue organizations here in Louisville, and they all do fine work. But I really think you need to have the structure that you have available to you through the Humane Society, mm-hmm. For that to be a good experience. So I can't recommend Kentucky Humane Society enough. If you are interested in fostering, you'll get the support mm-hmm. That you need. You know, there are many opportunities and many different needs for fosters. I have had a couple of medical fosters. So these were dogs that came into the Humane Society with a type of injury or some kind of medical condition that just made them unable for adoption at that time. And so those dogs need someone to kind of nurse them back to health. That type of fostering has been particularly rewarding for me. Most recently, I had a dog who lost one of their feet, a paw, and came into the Humane Society from a rural shelter, and they take in a lot of animals from rural shelters that just don't have the veterinary expertise that they need to care for those dogs. And so they come to the Humane Society from those rural areas. And we don't know how the dog lost their foot, probably a small animal trap or something like that. But this was a darling dog that had just had this terrible injury, and the veterinary staff over there at KHS fixed the foot, and then I took over as her foster and, tended to her every day to make sure, because at the time that I took her as a foster, the vet told me that she had a 50-50 chance of keeping her leg because of the risk of infection. And so we were highly motivated to, you know, take care of her. And after 6 weeks, her wounds on her foot had healed, and I took her back because she was available for adoption. Mm-hmm. And it was very difficult to take her back because I really bonded with her over that foot. But she was adopted by a wonderful young man with a house and a yard and, you know, all of the good things mm-hmm. that we're looking for in terms of adopters. And he had just recently lost his beloved dog to cancer, and he had just worked up the courage to go to the Humane Society and look for another dog to adopt.
That's great.
And so he knew as soon as he saw Bonnie that was the dog for him. And so she's brought him, you know, as much comfort. And, you know, we talk in rescue about, you know, you need the dog as much as the dog needs you. And this was certainly the case with Bonnie. So.
And typically, how long do you usually foster a dog, or is there a typical or average?
Yeah, it varies. And one of the great things about Kentucky Humane is they will set expectations with you up front. Many times you can take in a foster and you will have no idea how long you're going to have this foster for. And if the foster organization does not have a kennel or a place for the animal to go back to, you can find yourself with the foster dog for an extended period of time. You know, during COVID, so many times, so they'll tell you, Kentucky Humane will tell you up front, oh, it's going to be, you know, we knew with Bonnie it was going to be probably about 6 weeks before her wound would heal. And so, you know, that was something that we anticipated. But it really depends on the reason why you are fostering. The medical fosters will take a while. Again, they'll have a really good idea of how long that will be. Sometimes you're fostering because a dog has been, the owner is in a temporary housing crisis. Whether the owner is leaving an abusive household themselves, they have a program at Kentucky Humane that will allow that person to bring their animal to Kentucky Humane Society, and then a foster will take over that. If you do that, you have to be very careful about posting anything on social media and so forth. So there are many programs at the Kentucky Humane Society that resources for people in the community. But it varies on the reason why. Some people want to keep the foster and find the adopter for them. And that is something that you can do. But I have found that, you know, people come to the shelter looking for an animal. So as hard as it is as the foster to bring the dog back to the shelter, they get adopted pretty quickly when they're at the shelter. But you've given them so much love and attention during the time that they were fostering that they're less kind of reactive in the cage, and they're just more attractive to people when they come looking for the dog. So I have found that any dog that I've returned after fostering has been adopted within a day or two. They really do turn them over there at the Humane Society.
Ruth, can I add something to that, just talking about fostering? So Susan mentioned that sometimes it is a multi-week, if not multi-month commitment. There are some groups that actually do a shorter program, so foster for a day, for instance. I'm also a foster, so I've done foster for a day, and I've done long-term fosters. But the cool thing about a foster for a day or a foster for a week or something like that is a lot of these shelter animals may have been in the shelter for a long time. And as Susan was saying, if you want that dog to increase its chances of being adopted, just sometimes giving it a break from the shelter environment is so helpful. So even if you can take the dog home for any period of time to foster, when they do come back to the shelter, if you don't take them yourself, if they do come back to the shelter, they're going to be much more adoptable, as they say.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious also, if somebody is interested in becoming a foster, at least in exploring, first of all, do they need any training, and where do they go?
Well, they would contact the Kentucky Humane Society. You fill out a foster application that is very similar to an adoption application. So they want to make sure that you have really a place with a yard. I don't think that if you don't have a yard, you shouldn't think, oh, I can't foster, because you could always take a dog with a medical need that probably is not going to use your yard anyway. So you fill out an application that's very similar to an adoption application.
Or you could bring them to the dog park.
Well, I'm sorry, but that's against the rules for fostering.
Really? We'll figure something out. We'll talk later about that.
Yeah, we should have foster hour at the dog park. So anyway, it's a very similar application process as adoption, and then they do have, you know, formal training similar to what they have for their volunteers. So, yeah.
Larry, I may have snuck one of my fosters to the dog park in the past, and did not for the record, not a KHS dog or a Louisville dog. This was in a past life.
Yeah, well, I have to admit that I've brought mine to the dog park.
That's
too.
That's right. We just kind of do a wink, wink, and forget all about it.
Now I think I need to break in and give a station ID. This is WFMP 106.5 FM, low power radio here in Louisville, your community radio station. And I'm Ruth Newman, and this is Pledge Week. So we are hoping that you out there can appreciate what the benefit is of low-power community radio here in Louisville. We actually have two stations that are low-power community radio stations, and we are all volunteers. None of us gets paid for this. So your money that you give us goes only toward maintaining the studio and the antenna, paying insurance, paying for music royalties, equipment, anything else, Bob?
And a partridge in a pear tree. Right?
Well, thanks.
You name it, we pay for it.
All you have to do is go to www.forwardradio.org. You'll see a link there, which is donate to our, I was almost going to say Dog Run Association.
One thing that is important about donations, when anyone donates $20 per year, that takes care of one day's broadcast.
Yes.
And maintenance is thrown in there.
So we only need 365 of you to do that.
Right.
Yeah. It's very low cost.
Thank you, by the way, Ruth, for making your Pledge Hour animal themed. Yeah, I think it was, it's a wonderful thing to just be sitting here talking animals.
Magnificent Seventh. It's the Magnificent Seventh. And we have horses as our graphic. Yeah. So, so you can go to our website and do that, donate, and then you can come celebrate with us for our 7 years of being on the air this coming Saturday, April 13th, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Logan Street Market. There's going to be a silent auction. There's going to be live music and dancing. Charles Booker is our special guest. What else? Oh, we're going to serve birthday cake. We'll have the Logan Street Market is going to provide us with discounts for the vendors at the Logan Street Market. So if you come to the party, you will get you'll get a little wristband that will give you access to vendor discounts. So we hope that we'll see you there. Did I say Charles Booker? I forget.
You did.
Oh, good. And then also, yeah, my short-term memory is not good.
Ruth, are dogs allowed at the Logan Street Market? Since we're on topic.
Well, my dog wouldn't be for sure. I don't think so.
They would probably have to be service dogs.
Okay.
Yeah. I think they serve food there, so it would probably not.
It's a temptation.
Yeah.
Are there any dog parks close to the Logan Street Market?
Well, we do have Champions.
But there's one downtown, too, in Old Louisville.
Old Louisville, right. We have an Old Louisville Dog Park, and we also have Champions Dog Park, which is actually a little bit larger and better prepared with parking for everyone.
So about location, I had a very good friend at Cochran Hill that then moved into the Portland area and was very interested in the possibility of establishing a dog park, in the Portland area and getting more on the west side. Any comments about that, Larry?
We have usually have gotten the parks in a metro park area, and we've been trying to find land, et cetera. If anyone has any leads, you're more than welcome to contact us by text, email, or phone call. That is an area we're trying to develop.
Okay.
And we're simply looking for land, and that's our problem. Now, a metro park area, they usually have got something always going on, and we have to kind of argue to get a little bit of the land, but or space, rather. So if you have any ideas, throw it at us. Okay. Let's see what comes up. We do want to develop more dog parks. That's true.
Larry, I know in a past life I used to work in the parks and recreation field, and there was an organization that had a park score, they called it, where the goal was to be within a 15-minute walk of a park for everybody in a city to be within 15 minutes of a park. I wonder if there's been any you know, mapping or anything done like that by the Dog Run Association to figure out where are folks missing this opportunity?
We did do that. We did it with a 5-mile radius because most people drive with their dogs now and everything else. And mm-hmm. in the area that you just mentioned, Portland, Susan, is one that we're trying to develop because of that.
Okay.
Unfortunately, all the land was developed for our spaces toward the east and downtown. And the very west end does need more dog parks. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just something to watch. We've all been to dog parks here, and we've seen the interaction with people. It's a, right. It's like a family reunion when you walk in, and the dogs know their buddies. It's funny because they do have their friends there, too.
Right.
And it is the best socialization program there is.
Right. I love it when people who are have family visiting from out of town bring the family members to the dog park with them so they can meet all their dog park friends.
We get rave reviews because basically we're on Google and everything else, and people are always contacting us. I'm driving through out of state. Can we visit? Yes, you can. Mm-hmm. Have your rabies tag with you and all that. And we arrange that so they can come in and visit. And we always get a reply back from consistently about, this is great.
Yeah.
This is great. And we do want you to come. It's so much fun. And if you want to try out and visit it, first, that's fine. We'll work it out.
Mm-hmm.
Just let us know.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's just so much good about the dog parks. I also wanted to ask you, Todd, you know, during the pandemic, there was a rush on the shelters, wasn't there? And then tell me what happened after the pandemic, which is what we are now. We're post-pandemic. What happened with the shelters?
Yeah, so when the pandemic hit, a lot of individuals realized they had more time at home, right? Because we were all quarantined and we're trying to find ways to fill our time, I think, for a lot of individuals. And so a lot of folks adopted pets. A lot of folks said, I have more time at home now. I can be here with this new pet. I can help them get acclimated. And so now's the time to adopt. And so it was in many ways a rejoiceful time in shelters because many shelters were not quite empty, but were as close. You know, I mean, their numbers were way down. Not many animals in the shelter, and so it was just a wonderful time. In subsequent years, unfortunately, due to various circumstances, whether individuals had to go back to the workplace and could no longer be there with the pet, whether economically, you know, situations may have changed if folks lost their jobs. Susan touched on a very important point earlier, and that has to do with housing, whether there were individuals who maybe their rent had been skyrocketing and they could no longer afford a pet deposit on a rent, because we know that a lot of rentals will charge a pet deposit or a monthly pet rent or something like that. But for all those reasons, a lot of individuals had to relinquish pets. And so shelters began to fill up again. And that has persisted to the point where for the past, I would say, at least 18 months, maybe 2 years, a lot of shelters have been at a consistent code red crisis, meaning that they are absolutely full with animals. So it's truly remarkable what Susan does fostering. The big four kind of in the shelter world, if you want to help your local shelter, the KHS, LMAS, a local rescue, if you want to help them out, there's four things you can do. One is adopt. You know, if you're going to bring home a new furry family member, make it a shelter or rescue pet. Adoption is the best option. Number two is fostering. Susan's talked about all the values of fostering and the benefits that it brings both to the dog's life and to our own lives. Number three is volunteering. If you maybe aren't in an economic position or due to your work schedule or something like that, you can't foster, then maybe you can spare a couple hours a week to go help with the laundry at the shelter or to help, help distribute, supplies, help do anything to help out at the shelter. Because I can tell you, in addition to a lot of the dogs having been there for a long time and being stressed, a lot of the individual staff members are also quite tired. It's been a very taxing time. And then the fourth thing I mentioned, adopt, foster, volunteer, and if nothing else, please donate. I don't want to take away from the pledge drive, of course, but if individuals are able to donate any amount of money to a local shelter or rescue, they are certainly very appreciative of that.
Do you happen to know if the Humane Society has any events coming up?
Oh, boy. So, yeah, I don't have their schedule in front of me, but I do know that the annual events that KHS has every year are, and Susan is welcome to jump in here, too, but they're always the fun events. But I think the one that comes to mind for me most prominently is Lou Adopts. This is an event that began last year between KHS and LMAS.
And what is LMAS?
Louisville Metro Animal Services. I'm sorry. Thank you. Thank you, Ruth. But Lou Adopts is the single biggest adoption event within Louisville Metro. I forget the exact location, but last year it was a resounding success. Mm-hmm. LMAS was part of it. KHS was part of it. Some of the rural shelters that Susan mentioned were part of it, too. Other local rescues. And from what I know, everybody had a resounding day. Lots of adoptions, which eased everybody's burden. In addition to making a lot of families happy, brought home a new family pet. So I don't know if you want to add anything about events, Susan.
Yeah, well, they have Wagon Tail. They have a couple of derby, events down at the waterfront that are very popular. Again, you can bring your dog to those. Slugger Field has an event where you can bring your dog to a baseball game. I think the soccer folks also have a dog friendly event, and those are they're a lot of fun. You were talking about, LMAS and KHS, and I did want to mention that, those two organizations, I think, work very well together. We know that LMAS in particular, being a city-run organization, they have to take every animal that shows up on their doorstep. They do not have the luxury of saying, no, we're full. They have to take all comers. And that does put, a tremendous amount of stress on the system and the people that work there. But we do have a lot of rescue organizations, and KHS does this as well, where they do pull animals from LMAS. And I know there is a lot of fear surrounding LMAS, and, we encounter this in the dog park where people dump their animals, in public places. And these Good Samaritans that take these dogs, home with them and then are, oh, my God, now what do I do, right? I really can't keep this. And there's a lot of fear out there about taking them to LMAS because they are in a code red situation. But it's a fine organization, and they do their absolute best. And I get a little upset when I hear people fear-mongering about LMAS because I think the community does come together to try and help them as much as we possibly can in terms of, rescues, pulling dogs from LMAS and so forth. And, as Todd mentioned, of course, fostering, but the Dog for a Day is a very popular program, too, over at LMAS.
And they certainly need fosters and Doggy for a Day partners as much as anybody, LMAS does. So just want to give a plug to them. Like Susan, I'm a big fan of LMAS. I know that they have made a lot of strides in recent years, and they continue to make good strides, and they are doing an absolutely great job with a pretty, pretty rough situation, not just within Louisville, but in sheltering nationwide. Mm-hmm. It is, as I said, it's code red, not just here in Jefferson County, but all mm-hmm. across the country.
Yeah, it was always code red in Chicago. And one of the most heartbreaking things about being a volunteer at a city shelter is to watch the people coming in to surrender their animals, because that is heartbreaking. Even though that is probably the right thing to do, as opposed to dumping them at a dog park or at, just Jerky Park. There are resources available to people who feel like they are at the end of their rope and that they need to surrender their animal. We do have My Dog Eats First here in Louisville that will help people out with food and supplies. KHS puts on various vaccination clinics. So just, before you feel like you have to have that heartbreaking episode in your life where you need to surrender your animal, I would just suggest that you'd look for the resources in the community, because there are people in the community and programs that their goal is to help people keep their pets.
Ruth, if I may add something to that. So since the pandemic, we have had a very wonderful and fruitful partnership with Chewy. I'm sure everybody is familiar with Chewy. Chewy had reached out to us when the pandemic first began to say, we have a lot of excess food and a lot of excess supplies that we are not going to be selling. Can you help us get this out to local communities? And of course, we jumped at the opportunity to do that. And so since then, we have had so much success with that partnership. So the way it works is that Chewy will contact us. They will have a literal tractor trailer worth of supplies ready to go. They will contact us and say, find us somewhere to take it. And so I'm so proud to say here in Jefferson County, we have been able to get some of those tractor trailers to No Kill Louisville, to KHS, to Pitbulls of St. Francis Rescue, if folks are familiar with them, another wonderful organization. And we have seen those organizations reach out to the community and say, just as Susan said, if you're just about to relinquish your pet, maybe this can be an opportunity to help you keep them. Do you just need two bags of dog food? Do you need some kitty litter? Do you need some doggy stairs? Do you need a crate? This Chewy partnership has really been a lifesaver, and we're so happy to have been a part
of
it.
That's great. I'm so happy to hear that. And another thing, too, another reason to go to the dog parks is that you have a community of dog owners who can also help you. Once you become on friendship base with them, if you're in a bad situation, they can help you. And that's happened to me, too. And we do help each other when we're in bad situations. You know, we take care of each other's pets. So that's another reason to support the dog parks.
Well, if I can put in another plug for fostering as well. When you foster an animal, they provide you with all of the food and the veterinary care that animal needs. So if you want a free dog companion for a while, foster.
I think I'll just slip in real quick and give another promo for the station. If you like what you're hearing and you like the idea of an independent radio station that's not beholden to any corporate or other special interests, then please support us. Just go to our website, www.forwardradio.org, and click on the link to donate to the pledge drive. And come to our party on Saturday, April 13th from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Listen to Charles Booker. He'll be there dancing, live music, birthday cake, food vendor discounts. There's going to be a silent auction. It's going to be a lot of fun. So I hope you'll come.
Did you say Charles Booker will be dancing? Is that the implication, Ruth? I think the way that rattled off the tongue.
Well, it very well may happen because everything, as things are coming together now, is going to happen at the beginning. He's going to come close to the beginning. The musicians and the caller, it's going to be contra dance, are going to come at the beginning. So that could very well happen.
So get there at the start.
Yes, I guess so.
Well, folks, I've learned a lot of stuff here today just listening to these two people. Todd and Susan have really, very informative. I'm actually taking notes. I cannot get over about the foster program. I did not know they supplied the necessary things that you needed.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big benefit. That's a true benefit.
And, you know, social media, you know, there's the Facebook group for the Kentucky Humane Society. There's a group. They have a group of the volunteers. And then the fosters also have, you know, their own private, you know, Facebook group. And we will do things like trade crates and other supplies, you know, between each other. Just like our dog park friends help each other out, the fosters will help each other out, too, as well.
Is there a main contact number that they can call or just call the main switchboard and ask about fostering?
Yeah, or probably the best thing to do is to go online and just complete the application, and they will get back to you. The same with LMAS. I mean, the resources are scarce in terms of the people that process those applications, especially at LMAS. So if you've completed a foster application and you haven't heard, I would suggest following up with them. Because sometimes you just have to, you know, be a little more pushy, but because they have a lot of applications and it takes them a while to get through.
Follow up by phone call or?
Yeah, I don't know how much they want. I would say, you know, more like online or even, you know, perhaps even going into the shelter.
Going into the shelter.
And one other important point about fostering, Larry, is that individuals still will have the decision to decide if they want this particular dog in their life. It's not like it is, oh, I signed the application and the dog is sent to your door and, oh, have fun. I mean, you still decide whether you are the right fit for that individual animal, whether that individual is the right fit for you, and you can move forward from there.
Right. It's a good way to take a trial run. And they call that foster failing, right? When you decide that you're going to keep the foster. And
how many times have you foster failed, Susan?
I have never. Yes, I actually take pride in myself that I have not foster failed, because if I foster fail, then my chances of taking another dog to foster have just gone down. So I try and my resident dog actually is not a big fan of the fosters.
Neither is mine. I'm glad you went first. My every time I foster, my beagle, after about a month's time, kind of looks at me and looks at her metaphorical watch,
right,
and is like, Dad, let's get a move on.
Yeah,
it's time to get her, this other dog, out of here.
Right. My dog sleeps for like 3 days after the fosters are gone.
Jeez. Well, I have one question for Larry. I go to Cherokee Park a lot. I usually bike. And my goal is to get to the top of that hill. And at the top of the hill are all these dogs that run around. Are you familiar with that? Yeah. My question for you is, when are they going to change that into a dog park?
Wouldn't that be great? They call it Dog Hill up there. And that is actually the reason that we wound up getting a dog park in Cherokee Park, because there was so much outcry about all these loose dogs that are running up and down the hill. They're actually with their owners, but they're not on leash. Mm-hmm. So that's how we were able to get a dog park inside of an Olmsted Park, which is Cherokee Park, the largest Olmsted Park in the country.
Is that right?
And that was quite an act to get that one done. And we've actually expanded it before.
Yeah, the expansion's been really nice.
Yeah, and that was quite the little fight with the Olmsted bunch. But
right,
we needed the room, and it's simply something that's there until Metro decides to say no. That'll always be there, I'm afraid. But that's how we got the dog park in Cherokee Park itself.
Okay.
It's actually on Cochran Hill Road, so to get to it, come off of Lexington Road and you can find it right away. One reminder, everybody, our dog parks are off leash. They are fenced in, so your dog comes off the leash when they come inside.
And did you mention about the fact that the dog parks are separated into small and large?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Ruth just brought up a very good point. We do have sections in the dog park. It's divided. Large dogs, any dog over 30 pounds is kept on one side, any dog under 30 pounds on the other side. Unless you have a small dog and you want to bring it over to the what we call the all dog side, they can also be in there. We do have Great Danes with Chihuahuas some days, but
yes,
other days they're not.
Yesterday at Champions, we had two Great Danes with a Chihuahua.
Well, you
it's fun to watch because the Chihuahuas are the boss.
Yeah. Well, also, now that we have three areas over at Cochran Hill, we have the third area, which we have nicknamed the Thug Dog Side, because if somebody starts getting a little out of control, they go over to the Thug Dog Side, also known as the Penalty Box.
That's funny.
Oh, yeah.
Well, does anyone have any last words? We're starting to run out of time. Anything, any websites you want to talk about, or any laws or
Yeah, I will say I appreciate the opportunity to bring awareness on the show today, Ruth, about the plight of our animal welfare laws in the state. We always want more folks to get involved in contacting their elected officials to demand change. I mentioned earlier what happened with the Louisville Puppy Mill Ordinance, the pet sales ordinance, and the over 800 calls that were made. I can personally say that made a difference just from talking to Metro Council members. And so don't think that your voice doesn't matter. The truest part of democracy works on animal welfare issues as well. When constituents speak up, change happens. So I would encourage anybody out there who cares about animal welfare issues and doesn't want any animal to be abused to use your voice in the legislative process.
Very good. Anyone else?
Are there any trips that could be made to the state capitol? Is there anything coming up for vote that you feel that you need public representation?
No. So actually, they are just about finished with the legislative session. They go back in on Friday, and they do business on Friday and Monday. Okay. And that will be the end of it. But depending on what will happen on Friday and Monday, there may be an opportunity for folks to get involved, even if they don't go to the building. So there is a bill that is being considered. It's called Senate Bill 101, and it refers to working animals. And working animals, it's a very loosely defined bill. It would basically say that local governments cannot legislate or regulate the use of working animals. And it's a question of what does that mean? What is a working animal? And the bill is very loosely written as it is. So if you'd like to learn more about that bill and how to get involved on legislative issues, just go to humanesociety.org/email me, and then you'll be prompted to a screen where you can choose what state you live in and just put Kentucky. Or for our Kentuckiana listeners, if you're in Indiana and you want to know what's going on in Indiana, feel free to put Indiana in the state box. And from then, if you check the Kentucky box, you'll be hearing from me. Like I said, we would, you know, always want more folks to get involved in making their voice heard on behalf of animals.
Thank you. And if you just heard those sirens, I wasn't sure what they were. There were sirens. It's because we are downtown Louisville in the Hayburn Building. And that's where all the action is, including fire engines and ambulances.
I thought it was the risque discussion going on today, Ruth. They were coming to shut us down.
We're in the hospital zone.
Yeah. And your contributions to this radio station could help us out in that regard as well, for getting some insulation in this room so we can silence it better. So... Any other before we go back to regular programming? Anyone have any last words?
No, thank you for your time.
I want to thank everyone, and please remember what these people just said about a few donations can do a lot. Please do it.
Well, thank you all for being here. Thank you to Larry Jones, president of the Louisville Dog Run Association, Susan Ganchiff, a foster parent, and Todd Blevins, who's with the Humane Society of the United States, right? The director of the Humane Society of the United States.
Correct.
We hope that you will donate to Forward Radio at www.forwardradio.org and click on the link to the Donate to Our Pledge Drive. Also, come be with us and celebrate at our 7 years birthday party, going to be at Logan Street Market. That's going to be this Saturday, April the 13th, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Charles Booker will be there. Thank you for listening to Access Hour on WFMP 106.5 FM.